All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for another day just to be alive, courtesy of your grace. We thank you for your word, which is the truth that sets us free. We thank you for your spirit, your guidance, your direction, both in our lessons and in our individual conviction. And Father, most of all, we are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly left heaven to become a man and willingly went to the cross on our behalf. Father, help us never take this truth for granted and help us rejoice daily in your salvation. We ask that you bless this message. Have your Spirit guide us and teach us. It's in Christ's precious name we pray by the power of your Spirit. Amen. We also thank God for the motorcycles, huh? Who's this guy? Is it really? Wow, that's a low plane. Okay. He knows the time you start class, see? All right, on the board. Why are the apostles so encouraging? By grace they were prepared, part 35. So on Sunday, Pastor started this way. Peace, everyone wants it. So few have it. And I found it pretty interesting the Spirit began like this on Sunday, seeing that we learned about his peace not too long ago in our pulpit lessons. So apparently, we all still need this reminder. And also, what I got out of it was a different angle on Sunday on receiving his peace. I don't know if you saw that too, but we're going to review some of that this evening. I, for one, I know I don't enjoy his peace as I could and I should. And at times it's discouraging, but why do we have these reminders? That is really funny. Why do we have these reminders from the Spirit? Because we need them. We need to learn to have patience, right? Including distractions. And that's why God gives us these things. So... I know I don't enjoy his peace as I should. I'm sure you all probably feel the same way. And it's a journey. It's a process. And he's dragging things out of us. A lot of garbage along the way. On the board in John 14, 27, the Lord said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So this is the Lord's peace that is available to each of us. And what came out also on Sunday from the Spirit is that like any gift from God, we must receive it with humility in order to fully enjoy it. Isn't that like so true if you just think about that? All the gifts that God gives us, all the things that God offers us that are always there for us even, we have to receive it with humility in order to fully enjoy it. What have we been learning about the apostles and humility? That they had to learn it, right? And so here we are. We're nothing special. We know we're nothing special. The apostles were nothing special. And yet God, in his tremendous, infinite patience, teaches us humility and gives us a whole life on earth to learn it and grow and bring him glory despite our incredible weakness. If you think about it, when we don't enjoy God's peace, we're not being humble. When we don't enjoy God's peace, we're not being humble. Our pride has slipped in some way. For example, it's actually arrogant to be anxious and worried. And we don't normally think of it that way. And when we get worried and anxious, we don't think to say, "Wow, you know what? I'm being arrogant right now." Why? Because I'm not trusting God. And that's the way of man, isn't it? Start leaning on his own understanding and his own ways and his own ways out of the problems. So it's actually arrogant to be anxious and worried, don't forget. As is often the case, it all comes back to faith. Or not having faith. on the board. Whenever we read Holy Scripture regarding peace, there's one thing that comes to mind: faith. Without faith, it's impossible to enjoy the abundance of God's grace gifts. And if you don't have it, ask for more, just like the apostles did. Lord, increase our faith. I don't get it. I can't grasp this. I don't have the belief I want to have. I keep doubting. Ask for it. Without faith, it's impossible to enjoy the abundance of God's grace gifts that He's designed us to enjoy. He's designed us to have such a peaceful existence in this devil's world. And he's made all the power available to us by grace. We're the ones, again, that get in the way. So just think about the peace that God wants you to live in every day. And why don't you have it? It's a lack of faith. It's wavering in our faith. What did the Lord say? He came to give us His peace, not the peace of the world. Right? On the board? Let me go back to John 14:27. Right? He came to give us His peace, not the peace of the world. Our flesh clings to the false peace offered by this world. Once again, pride sneaks in, believing we can find peace on our own terms in this world. That's really what we're doing when we get anxious and worry as well. We want to figure out a way out of it, maybe an old-fashioned way, a way we're used to from our past to solve our problems. Pride sneaks in. Pride is very sneaky. And the thing that came to mind as I was preparing this lesson is, it's kind of like the Seidler in the Seinfeld episode. Anyone remember the Seidler? The Seidler was so quiet that he would sneak up to Elaine in the office right next to her, and she wouldn't even know he was there. And she'd turn around and go, "What are you doing there?" Right? Super quiet, super sneaky, and that's what pride reminds me of. Because before we know it, it's right there. And we had no idea we were even entertaining pride. So it's very, very sneaky. It's very, very subtle, which you'll see a little bit later as well. We buy the lie the world is peddling. Rather than having faith, we cling to our old ways, which is also a form of pride. Turn in your Bibles again to Philippians 4, verse 6. And let's see the other verse about the peace of God that we saw on Sunday. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Are those not all expressions of faith? What does it say? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. By doing those things, you are believing God. And you're believing His faithfulness. You're having faith. So be anxious for nothing. Instead of that, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When you pause and express faith towards the Lord in these various ways, you are being humble and obedient. And there's a result to that obedience, a reaping from that sowing, which is gathering in some of the Lord's peace. The result of living in verse 6, living in faith, is the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The promise, if you do these things, is that his peace will guard your heart. And in both verses, we already saw John 14 and here in Philippians 4, in both verses we're told not to be anxious. Not to be anxious, but instead, by faith, we can have his peace. Through faith, we can have his peace. It's because of the deceptions of the world and the flesh that we lose his peace. Remember, we're in a daily battle, everybody. We're in a daily battle. We're here, we wake up in the morning, a new day, thank God, fresh and new, yesterday's in the past, and we're in a daily battle between the spirit and the flesh. Who will we listen to? Will we walk by faith or will we walk by the flesh, let's say? Listen to our flesh. It's a daily spiritual battle in which we can bring tremendous glory to God. But our faith is being tested all the time. And that's why no man will ever be perfect in this life, even after salvation. Your faith is being tested all the time, even in your weak moments. On the board, Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Notice you will be able. Just remember that for now, because we're going to get to something later. With the shield of faith, by having faith, you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, all the temptations that come at you to live in the flesh, to live in pride. You can extinguish them by faith. Deception means you buy the lie. And even as believers, we can buy the lie, forgetting that only God gives truly good things. So stop turning to the world. Turn to Christ each day for true peace. Have that faith that you saw in Philippians 4, that exercise of faith. And then he'll guard your hearts and your minds with his peace. Stop being anxious, but instead by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Isn't that simple? It doesn't get much simpler than that. A child can exercise that faith. By prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Dad, here's my situation. I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to give this over to you, whatever it may be. But it's as simple as that. And that's faith. And watch what happens in your soul when you do that. You're going to have a little bit more of his peace. And if you do that habitually each and every day, you're going to have a little bit more of his peace every day. We see a warning about deception from James, however. We saw this on Sunday. Turn again to James 1, verse 16. And we have to be aware of this deception thing because, you know, just like pride sneaks up on you, deception is not something that you quickly recognize. If you're deceived, you don't realize it, right? James 1, 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. There you see that brethren, believers, can be deceived. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So it's pretty funny that I'm going to say what I'm about to say. There's wake-up call number one. God's so cool, huh? Those of you online, if you didn't hear that, a phone rang. Wow, God, you're good. He's so good. There's wake-up call number one. Don't be deceived. Pick up the phone. Every perfect gift is from above. All good things are from our Father above. They don't come from the world. So snap out of that deception. And then go to verse 21 for our second wake-up call. Let's see if God can do this one. I don't know. Verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Here again we see deception found in those who only hear the word. What does it say in verse 22? Don't be merely hearers who delude themselves. Very similar to deception. And notice deliverance, which is akin to peace, is sandwiched between receiving the word and doing the word. In verse 21 and verse 22. Again, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If we don't follow through, in other words, by faith, doing the word, we will live in delusion, is what this verse says. And that's a horrible place to be. We will live in delusion. We'll think we're on the right path and we'll be on the wrong path. We'll be off the path. But faith is where it's at, doing the word, not playing a game, not just being a hearer of the word that builds up all this knowledge and thinks that's going to sustain him. You actually have to choose to do it. You have to choose to make it real in your life, use it in your life, live it. Do the word if you want peace. So hopefully we see how walking by faith leads to experiencing the peace of Christ. Here's what stood out to me from Sunday's lesson regarding enjoying his peace. The peace of God is experienced when we live in his purpose for us. For me, it's that simple. That's what registers to me is that, and you think about this whenever you don't have any purpose in your life, how difficult life can be because you don't have anything you're fulfilling. You don't have anything you're accomplishing. And you know you have a plan from God to accomplish, each of a little different but very similar. I sat with an old man yesterday who was actually in his 80s, and he said, you know, it stinks being retired. I'm bored. And he worked his tail off for 50 years, but, you know, now he can't do it anymore. He's like, I'm just bored. And what he's saying is, I don't have purpose. I wish I had a purpose. I wish I had something to accomplish each day. Well, how fortunate are we to know we have a divine purpose? We have an eternal purpose. And yet we don't embrace that sometimes. We get caught up, you know, caught up in this world and this life as being the end all. Silly, of course. But on the board, if you want to experience the peace of God, you've got to live in his purpose for you. If you keep pushing aside his purpose for you, you know, doing it when you have time, like so to speak, it's a extra. If that's your way you look at God's purpose for you and you keep focused on your own little life and your own little kingdom, as came up last week, well, you're going to be unhappy. You're not going to have the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. And this principle on the board reminds me of what Paul said about his unhappiness or lack of peace when he didn't live in his calling. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:16. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Again, the peace of God is experienced when we live in his purpose for us. It's simple. But of course, pride sneaks in, gets us distracted. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. That should be all of our attitudes. That's the right perspective to have. Whatever your role is in preaching the gospel, whatever your role is in the Great Commission, whoever you're called to for your own pulpit, at work or in your family, it's different for each of us and it's between you and the Lord. But our attitude should be, you know, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. In other words, I'm sad. Woe means an exclamation of grief. And that's what Paul's saying. It sounds like the opposite of peace to me, by the way. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. We all have grief when we don't live in our calling, when we don't live in our purpose, our divine purpose. And all of our callings are in some way related to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, as came out on Sunday, do you want to have his peace? Walk by faith. Go forward in his works that he's laying out before you. When you walk, as Pastor gave a little, how simple it is on Sunday, when you walk, you actually go forward. We're not on a treadmill, okay? Forget the treadmill in the gym. When you walk, you actually go forward, even if it's slowly. You're making progress. By faith, you're taking another step on God's path, even though you don't see maybe where your foot's going to land. That's walking by faith. You want peace? Walk by faith. God's directing you in a certain avenue, a certain purpose for you, and you may be scared, fearful about it even. Walk by faith. Put the horse blinders on. Say, I know this is from God. I see the cross right in front of me. This is clearly what he's convicting me to go forward in. Just walk by faith and watch God show off through you. Watch him take over and help you do things that you never thought you could do. As the Bible clearly instructs us, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That should be like our overall desire, big picture, right? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, whatever you're doing. Whether it's work, whether it's evangelizing, whether it's loving someone, caring for someone, just walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Would my Lord be proud of this behavior? And if not, I'm going to adjust. I'm going to walk in a manner worthy of his calling. If you want his peace, imitate Christ. Live in his love and his mission of seeking and saving the lost. Imitate him in that way. You want his peace? Live in the divine purpose, which is spreading the gospel. Remember, God has granted us his supernatural power as well to be able to walk like Christ. Don't say, I can't do that, or, you know, Jesus was perfect and I'm not. God has granted us, through Christ in us, his supernatural power to be able to walk like Christ, to imitate him. We won't be perfect because we give into the flesh at times, God knows, but we can choose to put on Christ and live in the new life we've been granted. It's a daily choice to walk by faith. So here's something to think about too, especially for those of you who get hung up on knowledge as being the spiritual life, which I hope and believe most of us are past that. But just think about this. Do you deny its power? I was thinking about this from my own, you know, spiritual walk. And I think I'm guilty in some ways in this. Do you deny its power? Do you deny God's power in you? In other words, are you going through the motions? Are you doing, you know, are you learning? Are you doing what you should do, but you don't have faith that God's power can do great things through you? Are you denying its power? Do you believe this isn't just about learning, but about living your new life in Christ Jesus? Even using his power that he makes available to us. We're talking about supernatural things, folks. And we do not want to be like these people in 2 Timothy 3:5 on the board, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. This is when we get caught in religion, and we all have a little religion in us. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I don't want that for any of us, because that's where we're really missing the boat. The whole idea is that God is empowering us to live a supernatural life that blows people away even, not to our own boasting, but they see the power of God in you. They know little o' you. They know your weaknesses. And then they see the new you, come out. That's power. That's what changes people and wakes people up as well. How did Paul come to people when he was preaching? And remember, he was extremely intelligent, and he could have used incredible speech, incredible persuasive words, and looked eloquent like the best of the poets and been praised for it. And he said, on purpose, I'm not going to come to you with those kind of words, so that you see the power of God through me and the power of the Spirit. I'm not going to come on purpose with those words. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. Do we have the viewpoint that all this learning we do is for the purpose of living in His power? Kind of like the MASH unit idea again, where we come back here to get bandaged up and strengthened, and then we go back out. What do? When we go back out, we go back out to fight the good fight. We go back out to use His power that we learn about through the Word. So do we have the viewpoint that all this learning that we do is for the purpose of living in His power out there to the glory of God? Again, it's back to faith, isn't it? It's back to faith. Do we trust God will do great things in us and through us? 1 Corinthians 2:1. Paul says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I mean, think about that. The great apostle Paul, right? He wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't worrying about how he looked before people. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. We're here to live in God's power out there. We want it. Don't we want anything good we do to be of the Spirit and of power, like Paul says here? On purpose, not using fancy words of wisdom or not being scared to look weak in front of people. Maybe, just maybe, if you're humble enough to be willing to look weak in front of people, they'll say, that must have been God, because look at him. And as long as you don't let pride sneak in right next to you and say, hey, do you realize how you look right now? Don't listen. Be willing to look weak. What happens? Only God can get the glory. Only God can get the glory. So it's in demonstration of the Spirit and of power that Paul wanted to come, so that only God and the power of God would get the glory. So do you believe, back to faith, do you believe in the power of God in your life? Do you have faith? Do you put things on Him? Do you lay them on Him and say, God's going to come through? And that's it. I'm going to stop thinking about it. I'm not going to be anxious anymore. God's going to come through. And do you allow Him to come through in your life by faith? Do you believe in the power of God in your life? Do you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you? Sadly, we don't. Not all the time. If you think about it, this is kind of the whole point. The whole point of growing in God's wisdom and knowledge is to live out the supernatural spiritual life, which means to live in divine power. So just something to think about it. Here we have another issue of faith on the board. Do you believe God can use you for great things? Yes, you. And you know what? The weaker you think you are, or the dumber you think you are, good. That's an advantage in the spiritual life. It's an advantage. Embrace it. Do you believe God can use you for great things? And by faith, will you walk forward in the works He places before you? As in Ephesians 2:10. By faith, Will you walk forward in the works that he places before you? Are you even asking him to open the doors and paths that he has for you? Or is your pride sidling up next to you and telling you to look the other way so you don't look at his path, the works that he's laid out right before you, kind of under your nose? You know when you're convicted and you ignore them. I'm a little scared of that, Lord. I don't have the faith. Well, how about pausing for a minute and asking him for the faith? Because you see it right in front of you. You know it's from God. Are you even asking him to open up the doors and the paths that he has for you? Or are you too focused on living for yourself? It's a good question for all of us to ask and be honest. Don't even be condemned. Be honest. You will ask him for these clear paths to walk in if you're finally done playing around in the spiritual life, in religious things, holding to a form of godliness, right? When you're finally done with that, you'll ask him. You say, Lord, I'm done. I want your power or no power at all. Show me the path. Show me where you want me to walk. I'll walk. I can't do it. I can't say it. I can't speak right. Show me where you want me to walk. I'll do it. Right? Fill my mouth, as we'll see coming up. And if you really want his peace, that's what you'll do. That's the only way to his peace, to embrace his purpose for you, to walk by faith. So on the board, we saw on Sunday, walk by faith. If you want his peace, then do as his word has instructed you. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Simple. And in Colossians, we see Colossians 1:10 on the board, we have a few key phrases that come together as an illustration of walking by faith. Let's go read that passage again in Colossians 1, verse 9. We're going to read verses 9 through 12 again and look for the few key phrases that come together as an illustration of walking by faith. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with what? All power. Obviously his power. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. This really hit me as I was reviewing before class. Verse 11, strengthened with power, according to his glorious might, for what? For you to do a miracle that everybody can see? What does it say here? For attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That's a miracle. When we have steadfastness and patience that this world has never seen, that's a power of God in us. That's a miracle. That's what wakes people up to the fact that your little old weak self is doing these certain things and they know it can't be you. How does that reveal itself? How does God's power reveal itself? In things like steadfastness and patience. Think of what Frank's going through with his crazy health and the faith that he keeps holding on to and walking in exudes itself or shows itself as steadfastness and patience. Think of, you know, Kathy. Think of Bill. I mean, I don't want to forget anybody, but we have some serious health issues going on in the church. What's the miracle of God's power in us? Steadfastness and patience that we could never go that far in. We could never be that patient for that long on our own. And people that know us know it. And that's the beauty of it. All the glory be to God, right? So again, in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Think of the cross. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Think about it this way. It's natural for a believer to walk in the works of God by faith. It's natural for a believer to walk in the works of God. How do we do it? By faith. On the board, regarding the believer's walk, it's what he's been designed to do. After being saved by grace through faith, to walk by grace through faith in the works he has laid out before him. That's what a believer is designed to do. That's what you were built for. That's your purpose, an eternal purpose. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 8, since this verse has come up more than once. And let's see it in context. Because what we're talking about on the board here is the believer is designed to walk by grace through faith in God's works, even after he was saved by grace through faith. Just like we repent and believe all of our lives, we're saved daily, not just on the day of our salvation. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Picture a game board. Picture a Monopoly board if you want. And you're going around the board, and on each station, there's a treasure to pick up. But you have to stay on the path, right? And as you go on the path, there's a destiny, there's a thing to live in, there's different things you do on the path, but you're gathering and walking in these works that are already laid out on the path for us. Treasures, if you will. And all we do is walk. That's all God asks us to do. By grace through faith. He knows you can't do it. You think if you walk by faith, he's not going to give you the power to fulfill whatever he wants you to do? If you, by grace, leaning on his grace, you walk by faith, you don't think he's going to fulfill or give you the power when you need it? Of course he's going to. And if not, he's the one that loses glory, right? His name's on the line. We know we can't do it. So again, in verse 10, these are our works that God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. As came out on Sunday on the board, walking by faith, if you don't like the simple fact that a true believer will produce works by grace through faith, then you don't like God's grace. You like some perversion of it. Just think about that. Isn't God's grace in us for the purpose of doing wondrous things in us and through us? As many a scripture will attest, if you don't like the simple fact that a true believer will produce works by grace through faith, then you don't like God's grace. You like some perversion of it. It's incomplete at best. Isn't the whole idea of grace that God gives us a new life and the power to live it? And life is meant to be lived, of course. Meant to be walked in. So again, why are we here? What's our purpose after we're born again by the Spirit? Go to Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, 12. Again, we're back to the word purpose. What's our purpose after we're born again? Philippians 2, 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Notice, you and I are here for his good pleasure, and God is at work in us. In Ephesians 2:10, he's already laid out the works before us. And walking in his works comes by walking by faith, relying on his grace every step of the way. What did Philip do? One of the first evangelists mentioned in the church. This came up in our Wednesday night Bible studies. All Philip really did was obey the Lord's direction. He was humble, and he walked by faith. By faith, he listened to the Lord and followed behind the eunuch's cart because God told him to. And by grace, God showed him what to do and say. So God did great things through Philip. God gave Philip power. All Philip did was obey, walk by faith. On the board, walking by the Spirit, Philip was willing to walk in God's plan for him, not his own. That's all Philip had going for him. We call it humility. That's all any of us can have going for us. When we put our pride aside and humbly be before him and be like, okay, Lord, I can't do it. I'll go. Where do you want me to go? I'll go. You're going to have to do it all. You're going to have to hold me up. You're going to have to speak. Philip was willing to walk in God's plan for him, not his own. Acts 8:5 through 13 and Acts 8:26 through 40. He was humble and obedient, fulfilling God's purpose for him. He walked where the Spirit led him. Do we? When you're convicted that God's nudging you in your conscience, as we've been learning, to go in a certain direction or to go speak with somebody or go do something for somebody even that you're not comfortable with, but you know you're being convicted, do you walk where the Spirit tells you to go? It's that simple, like an obedient child. Turn to Acts 8, verse 26. Here we see Philip walking by the Spirit, walking by faith. So we're not going to visit the first passage on the board. You can read that later on if you like. But in particular, verse 26 through 40 is an illustration of walking in the path that God puts before you. Acts 8:26. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." And Philip said, "No, I really don't feel like it right now. Is that you, Lord?" Obviously, he didn't say that. All Philip did was obey. Again, verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You see how this is all the Lord's doing? The Spirit laid it before Philip's path and all he did was go. And then these things presented themselves to Philip. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth. I love that. It doesn't say Philip spoke. Philip opened his mouth. In other words, God filled it. And beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Can you do that? Can you open your mouth and preach Jesus to somebody? A five-year-old could do that. That's all God's asking of us as we preach the gospel. Stop thinking you have to say the right words and use persuasive words. That's a curse to think that you have to do that. And you rely on the flesh. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And just a reminder, this is one reason we have the water baptism coming up on August 27th, and all are invited, because it's a beautiful fruit of saving faith. The eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. The path we walk is the path that God has laid out before us. And one day the Spirit might even snatch you away and put you in another place. Maybe not in the exact same way, but it's the Spirit's doing is the point, if you're willing to walk by faith. So only when we live in our purpose from above will we have His peace. That's the point that I get out of Sunday. You want His peace? Live in your purpose, your divine purpose. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. I'm grieved. I'm sad. My heart aches. It's missing something. Woe is me if I don't participate in spreading the gospel. You know, everyone has a different role in the Great Commission, but you should be grieved if you're a believer in Christ and you don't get to participate in that. Because that's our purpose. And without living in your purpose, you won't have God's peace. Imagine for a minute the peace and joy Philip had when he saw God use him in this way. And he saw God fill his mouth. Philip was just like you and me. Imagine the joy he had when he obeyed God, the Spirit, down to the eunuch and the cart, and it went as it did. And the eunuch believed and was saved and got baptized and rejoiced. Imagine the joy Philip had. What did Philip do? He walked by faith in the works that God put before him. Any of us can do that. If you're humble, if you're obedient. So here's another thought to ponder. Do you think Philip was better than you? I know some of you do. In fact, we all fall into that trap once in a while. We look at the apostles, for example, and we think they're better than us. Something about them, right? We're learning. We should be encouraged by the fact that these were normal men that God used to do great things through. These were normal men that received the power of God through Christ in humility. Was Philip special, or was he a sinner saved by grace like you and given a gift by God? Obviously, that's the answer, as with the apostles. So remember, this point came out on Sunday regarding faith. Faith allows the most undeserving, pathetic, weak individuals to step out. Amen? Stop being discouraged. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, "I can't do this." You're looking at the flesh. You're looking at the weakness of your flesh. Faith allows the most undeserving, pathetic, weak individuals to step out. Just dwell on that. God can use you, and He wants to use you. For what Exactly, that's between you and him. But it's not an earthly idea that God has for you. It's not an earthly purpose that God has for you. It's a spiritual idea with power from the Spirit that will enable you to fulfill it. We're all spiritual weaklings on our own. We're all powerless. But with Christ, we have all power at our fingertips. So will you walk by faith and watch what he does through you? Or are you going to turn a blind eye to the path? It's up to you. But you've been designed to do this. And you've been given the power to do this. On the board, as we begin to close, it's the one thing, faith is the one thing that allows mere man to reconcile otherwise incomprehensible realities of God, beginning with the salvation plan. Faith is the one thing that allows mere man to reconcile otherwise incomprehensible realities of God, beginning with his salvation plan. What's the most amazing thing that God has ever done? The salvation plan, right? But it's so simple, you say. But it's the most supernatural thing, and we can comprehend it by grace through faith. As Pastor said in the past, it's faith that bridges the chasm between God and man. You're not going to get it otherwise. But with faith, you're going to get it. And he's even going to have his power flow through you to bring him tremendous glory. So we revisited an old friend on Sunday, written by one of the apostles who suffered the maladies that we've been studying, which we all suffer. Turn again to 1 Peter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. Can't believe I've only gone like halfway through my notes. But apparently God wanted to emphasize certain things. So what did Peter say by the power of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 1, verse 6? In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, I mean, that stood out to me on Sunday. The proof of your faith, steadfastness and patience, remember that? God's power in you producing steadfastness and patience, that's basically supernatural. The proof of your faith, that thing, is more precious than gold in God's eyes. And when you get to heaven, you'll see it. So as we go through various trials, so the proof of our faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy incomprehensible or inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation or deliverance of your souls. That's what we've been talking about all night this evening. The outcome of faith, walking by faith, is the way to God's peace. Here, the outcome of your faith is the salvation or deliverance of your souls. On the board, the salvation of your souls. This was the phrase Peter used to describe the result of having faith. Here, salvation means welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, salvation, and safety. It refers to the continual deliverance from the power of sin. Of course, we won't have peace in this life if we live in the sphere of sin. But if we walk by faith, by grace, through faith, we will experience his peace. On the board, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We've been made alive again from the dead. If you're a born-again believer, you're born in sin, you're dead in your trespasses, but now you've been made alive again with a new life, the life of Christ. That's what God's been telling us tonight. You're alive. Live it. Go walk in it. And it's not your power. You don't have to worry about the power. He's going to give you the power. You're alive from the dead again. You have a divine, eternal purpose. Go live in it. Go walk in it by faith. The purpose of making someone alive is so they can live. So you're still alive for a reason. I'm still alive for a reason. He hasn't seen fit to take us up yet, so we are here to walk by faith and let his power just flow through us. Amen? It's so simple, really. And that's the only way we're going to achieve or experience the peace that God wants us to have through Christ. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your wonderful word, for the power of your Spirit, for making things clear to us and even simple so that we can walk in the faith of a child. Father, we ask that you help us walk in humility by faith. Help us walk in the works you've laid out before us. And help us bring the good news out to a lost and dying world that needs it so desperately. We ask these things in Christ's precious name, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.